This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, everybody. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney ready to go on this Martin Luther King Monday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and of course, we're coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55, and we're a step closer to that, obviously, with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. So the kiddies are home today, and a chance to celebrate a great figure. That's why we're doing this. We're working. Why? How do you not work the day after the divisional round play? Are you kidding me? Of course we're working, but many of you are not. So hopefully you've had a chance today to just chill out and reflect and enjoy a little family time, maybe more than usual on this Martin Luther King Day holiday. TK, how you doing today, bud? You good?
Yeah, fantastic. Love, respect, and equality. That's what we want to talk about today with our kids. But
no doubt.
What we're talking about is football, because it was a lot of good football this weekend.
And not very equal.
No.
On levels, right?
No, it wasn't at all. Quick note, Brandon Staley, surprisingly, gets the job.
Yeah,
With the Chargers, and a lot of people had Daboll in that conversation, whether Eric Bieniemy was actually ever in it, who knows. Mm-hmm. But Brian Daboll, who's been a coach basically for 5 years, is now the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, and it looks like he might poach some of the Rams talent to build that staff, which we always talk about. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a defensive guru, led the Rams to the number one defense in football this year, but it didn't necessarily help this past weekend against the Green Bay Packers, who were just amazing. But Brandon Staley is the new head coach of the Chargers, and a little bit of surprise, but it informs me, and I only bring this up for a reason, BT, mm-hmm. because a lot of people had questioned whether Brian Daboll was going to get that job, obviously the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, and the reason that it got announced now is because Brandon Staley just got knocked out, which gives me hope. I'm just saying hope.
Okay,
gives me hope
that
Eric Bieniemy still is in the running for the Philadelphia Eagles job or the Houston Texans job, and they're just not getting aggressive or out there with it because he's still playing, as we all know.
It could be it. I know Philly's talking to Josh McDaniels, mm-hmm. So that's heating up a little bit. They're going to have to do their due diligence. That was not an expected fire, although on this show for a long time, you and I certainly broached the topic. I was in the camp, and you know where I would not bring back Doug Peterson based on the way things unravel. But unlike you know certain teams and the Jets, well, basically every team that is hiring a coach now knew that they were going to be in the market for a head coach. They began the process earlier. Yep. I don't know what the Eagles are thinking, and I don't know which direction they'll turn. I do know the two jobs that are out there, and then we'll get to the games. The two jobs that remain, the Texans, and there's more stuff on Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. and we'll get to that coming up in a bit.
It's not good either.
No, it's not good. No, it's a continuation of the negative stuff, only it's worse.
Exactly.
Right? So between the Texans and the Eagles here, it's funny, and I slacked this to you guys earlier today. I said, on paper, you know, you've got the most desirable asset for both of those jobs, a franchise quarterback, absolutely in their prime, or in Watson's case, because he's a little bit younger than Wentz, just entering his prime,
yeah.
under contract, for the most part healthy. I know Wentz has been nicked up, but he's healthy now. You would think that those jobs would skyrocket to the top of the list, but the dysfunction with the Texans is one thing, and Wentz's regression and his attitude makes those two jobs from the two best to really the two worst.
Yeah, they make them questionable at best.
I was saying, that's being kind.
Exactly. Especially when
Texans job.
And especially when you start looking at the talent around a lot of these teams. You know, I think Zach Ertz comes back. If he doesn't, like, what are they doing skill position-wise?
We'll figure that out over the draft and over free agency, but hopefully, Bieniemy's still in the mix, and we'll see. But Staley surprised me because, remember, Brian Daboll went to high school with Tom Telesco, the GM. So, plus, Daboll's a great coach.
Yeah, but how many kids are you still tight with from high school? I mean, you are, but I mean,
honestly, not as many as I used to be, only because of distance. Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple
distance,
of guys.
Kids, more important things that I'm worried about. Yeah. I hear you. No,
you know, a couple of guys who were at my wedding that I'll never lose touch with. Yeah. But, and you know, I'd say guys from high school that I still either text, communicate with, or see either for golf or drinking, probably 10 to 12.
Wow, you're doing well. I have about four. And one of them is my twin brother.
Hey, it's not my fault you didn't have any friends. Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, so let me frame this before we get into what we are staring at, and more importantly, or more directly, what transpired over the weekend. Here's what we're staring at, because you never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You go back to 2017. You had Brady, Bortles, Keenum, and Foles as the four quarterbacks for Conference Championship Sunday. Brady, Bortles, Keenum, Foles. That's arguably the worst ever.
Yes.
The next year, bounced back nicely. You got Breeze, you got Brady, you got Mahomes, you got Goff, and Goff is all over the map, but the other three, phenomenal. 2019, Mahomes, Tannehill, Rodgers, Garoppolo. A little bit of a mixed bag, but still a couple of legends in there. But this year, Teak, are you kidding me? We get to sit down as football fans on Sunday, getting ready to digest, it's as good as it gets, man.
No, this is exactly what – look, I did my sports minute on this, BT. I get exhausted by the narrative. Oh, it's a quarterback-driven league. Oh, you know, you got to have a great quarterback. I'm like, dude, it's a team game. If there's any game that we play in this country, really around the world, but they don't play it around the world, but you know what I mean, it's a team game – it's football. Maybe soccer does as well, but still, football is a team game. You literally have to rely on the guy that's snapping the football to get you the ball if you're the quarterback. So you might be the greatest quarterback in the world, Lamar Jackson, and your center can toss it over your head twice. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Ben Roethlisberger against
Ben Roethlisberger, and it cost you. So like the fact that you can just pin it on quarterbacks, it frustrates me, man, especially because I played the game and I know like those guards and tackles who get the crap beat out of them, get micro concussions every single time they fire off the football. We relegate them to side stories in history because the quarterback is great. That being said, BT, I went back and I rechecked my math and I told you this a year ago, 75% of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are Hall of Famers. And that's making a couple of assumptions. Russell Wilson, I put him in that conversation.
Of course.
Pat Mahomes, which is in that conversation. But, you know, Ben and...
What about Russell Wilson? You put him in, obviously.
Russell and Mahomes are my two assumptions.
If I take them out, it's
still 74.8% or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If I leave them in, it's 76%. 75%+ of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are Hall of Famers. So in order to get to this point, you're usually great. And to get into the Super Bowl and win it, you're usually great. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're right, BT. When you look at this particular lineup with three quarterbacks who have MVPs and one who, if he plays the way that he did this season for the rest of his career, will win one, maybe multiple of those. Talking about Josh Allen, of course. This is as good as you can get QB-wise
in
the championship games.
The only way this will not measure up to... And it's a handful of years past. I just chronicled the last five, and nothing could touch what we're getting ready to watch coming up this weekend. But the only thing that would challenge the iconicness of this quartet is if, and I don't expect this, I'm just saying, is if Josh Allen somehow goes sideways, which is not happening.
No.
I mean, Josh Allen is on pay. I believe that for the next 10 years, we will enter, maybe 10's ambitious given the fierce, atrocious nature of the sport. So I'll say 7 years.
Yeah.
Right, seven. But he's young, so you really could say 10. But we'll just say 7. We'll say 7.
Dude, do you see him doing this at 36? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 36.
I do.
Mean, 37. Of course.
Look at Ben. Look, you want to compare him structurally, body type, it's more about Ben, but he's so much stronger and he's going to keep himself in better shape.
Definitely more athletic. Doesn't take as many hits. Doesn't stand still and beat me up type of player. He's not that guy.
But even if, like, Josh Allen's the kind of player for the next however many years, we can just settle. Yeah. We'll settle on seven.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's going to enter seasons as not necessarily a front runner, although some years he might be, as an MVP candidate, but he's on the short list until proven otherwise.
That's
for
right.
me, what I've seen with his wheels and his arms. So this quartet is not going to be diluted by, remember that one great year that Josh Allen had for the Buffalo Bills? No, this is going to be the start of many great years for Josh Allen, and in all probability, you know, in totality, team-wise, for the Buffalo Bills. So this is special stuff. But what it also does, it does illuminate, and I know that it's unanswerable. It's unanswerable, but it's fun. Trying to decipher, trying to determine, trying to delineate. Okay, what's it? Belichick. I know there's no right or wrong answer, but listen, my answer is it's not Brady. That's my answer.
It has to be, BP. It has to be at this point. Now, this is also discounting how good of a coach Bruce Arians is, and also how great of a staff that Bruce Arians has built. All of them African American, by the way, and a couple of females on that staff also.
Yep.
I mean, Bruce Arians,
Byron Leftwich, OC, no doubt.
Yep. And your former head coach,
Todd Bowles, is a defensive
coordinator who was aggressive as could all be against the Saints. And it was the only way to beat the Saints. Get in Drew Brees' face, play man coverage. I think they played 75 or 76% man coverage in this game, BT.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
should.
If you have to. He's mobile. He can't move. Force him to make some mistakes. Great plays. He didn't make any great plays. He made a bunch of mistakes.
A lot.
Great job by Todd Bowles. So you can't discount the coaching that went into this. But at the end of the day, which goes back to what we started this conversation about, BT. Great quarterbacks that are still with it and have the arm and the ability to lead like Tom Brady did are rare. And at 43, he doesn't look like he's losing his step at all.
He doesn't.
It was amazing. Now, he's got all the great talent around him, but still.
But still, you got to look the part, man.
Exactly right. And he looks the part.
He does.
And he played great, especially after the first quarter. And this game just it made me realize how special it is to watch Tom Brady do what Tom Brady does. And there were some missteps this year where we questioned it maybe for a week or maybe even 2 weeks. But it just makes you realize how special of a player he is, and that he can fit in different systems, even if, you know, Bill Belichick, who is one of the great coaches of all time, isn't with him.
It took a while. I mean, it took a while this year. There's nobody that's disputing that. I don't mean that they were, you know, mired in this lengthy four-game lure, like for the Bears, like a six-game losing streak. But you watch the Bucs every week with the expectation. And part of this is just because, you know, we're wrapped up in fantasy and stats and the way we perceive football. It's become easy to score, right? So we flip on the Bucks every week and we think we're going to get a pinball machine, just like at the old arcade, just blowing up like lights everywhere. Ding, 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 like 50 points every week. And it really undercuts the importance and the necessity of camaraderie and of chemistry and of belief and conviction of what you do. And what they did was they course corrected. And about 7-ish weeks ago, they started altering, not radically overhauling, but they altered how they play.
Yeah.
And now they said, and that, to your point about Bruce Arians being a great coach, Bruce needed to show some adaptability, and he did. And if he was stubborn and if he did not show that adaptability, they would not be here right now.
No, you're right.
They needed to change how they play and let Tom Brady do what Tom Brady does. And Bruce Arians did that.
Yeah, you got to run the ball as they did effectively. Yep. They have 35 carries, I think, on the day.
And by the way, 32 the first two games against the Saints. Total.
Combined.
35 yesterday, combined.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a lot of that was because they were able to get first downs and they involved the tight ends more. Cameron Brate, at one point, he had like 80 yards. I'm like, Cameron Brate has 80 yards?
It's going to be open. Somebody's going to be open.
And so that's what it is. It's like, forget trying to make the big play. You have this downhill, no risk it, no biscuit, Bruce Arians thing, throw the ball, you know, take some shots. Forget that. Just get first downs. You know, when you start getting first downs, good things happen. And you have to utilize your underneath players, like your tight ends, Gronk and Brate, being most specific. And that's what Tom Brady has thrived in his whole life. And so you're right. The Buccaneers adapted. Byron Leftwich adapted. And Tom Brady never missed a beat despite some of the doubts that were probably creeping in a lot of people's heads.
I had some. Probably. You could call me out on this show. I was basically saying, I don't see it with the Bucs. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to necessarily win coming up on Sunday. We've got all week to flush through that. But I am not stunned by any stretch that they're here. But, I mean, I've got to remain married to some of my points. Otherwise, you know, what kind of respect do I have with the audience? I wasn't sure if this Bucs team was going to figure it out. I just wasn't. Tom Brady, some marquee games, some measuring stick games, didn't play well. I was wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
It's played great.
Look, at the end of the day, what makes this team so good is that they are balanced offensively and defensively. Four turnovers in this game. And you intercept. Now, the last interception for Drew Brees was just kind of their prayer. They're trying to get the ball downfield. But, I mean, they were confusing him. They were, aggressively playing him, forcing him to make throws that it just looks like he just can't make anymore, which brings up the question on whether or not this was his last game. And I think
I hope it is.
From optics, it looked like it, BT. Mm-hmm. Not just how the mistakes that he made, but how he looked after the game, walking off the field and taking that last glimpse back that everybody has been talking about at the Superdome, and then ultimately playing with his kids on the field with his wife, and Tom Brady came out there, and it felt like the end. Now, he's not going to announce it anytime soon, I don't think. He said, obviously, I'm just going to think about it, but it looked to me like this is it for Tom for Drew Brees,
and it should be.
Yeah,
and we will have a full show. Once he does retire, we've had Drew on the show before. It's been a little bit, but it wouldn't surprise me if we get him back up. That's certainly the goal, and that's the belief. So when he retires, when he announces it, we'll give him his full due. One of the all time greats. He's just obliterated the record book. He's comported himself with class. That is without saying. He's one of the all-time great guys. He's done so much for that city. He's rebuilt the infrastructure of that city, both from an educational point of view. He's brought races together. He's made it basically colorless. Drew Brees is a class act, a great guy, and a great player. But from a football point of view, I do hope that this is it because it's done. He's just about done. Michael Thomas didn't have a catch.
I know.
Zero.
I know.
I mean, that's
That conversation about who's next for the Saints will be interesting too.
Oh yeah,
Jameis, his first playoff game, those touchdowns. His only throw.
And Sean Payton stole the play for the Bears that the Bears couldn't actually catch.
That was awesome.
That
was awesome.
All right, so we'll get to Drew Brees will be on our radar as soon as something comes in. As I said, it's not going to come today, but when it does, we'll give Drew his due. Right now, we're rolling with who's playing, the storylines. We'll get to Mahomes coming up. And, there's a lot to unpack with that Browns game. That Browns lost, the Chiefs win, the play at the goal line. I know you're all ticked off with that. So are we. We'll come up hopefully with a solution. They've got to get away with that stupid rule. It's moronic. It makes no sense. It's far too punitive. It's just dumb. It really makes no sense. But that's not the reason why they lost. We'll get to the Chiefs win next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Only an hour of TV today, just give you a heads up. So if you're getting ready for a little A-10 action coming up at 4, you got St. Joe's and LaSalle. That is up next here on the network. So Tiki and I will just roll with TV from usual starting point of 3 until 4, and then we'll do our thing on the radio, radio.com, all the great affiliates across the country. But it's only 1 hour TV today. So the Mahomes stuff is interesting here, Tiggy. A little unclear, I think some people are. This is not, as per the last report, not necessarily, a matter of fact, by some reports, it's been flat out ruled that it was not a concussion, that he did not go into the blue tent for a concussion, but he was still administered to the various concussion protocols, and he passed with flying colors. He passed easily. What the problem was, according to multiple reports, is that it's a pinched nerve. A pinched nerve in his neck. And, it's funny because somebody who's dealt with back issues, and no, I'm not trying to equivocate myself to Mahomes clearly, but when the nerve temporarily goes however it goes, right?
Yep.
There's a weakening. It's everything's connected, as you know, and it goes down to the legs.
Yeah.
And if you remember, there was a point where he looked like he didn't have his balance, and the immediate and most times right reaction will be, man, that looks like you just got your brain busted a little bit, unfortunately. It's probably a concussion. But also, if you've got nerve tweakage and it radiates down to your legs, that could temporarily compromise your functionality in terms of standing or walking. So yeah. I don't know what the deal is, but in terms of availability for next week, I'm certainly not going to take a guess. But it looks like there's a different path, a different light that they're shining, and not so much a concussion, but nerve issue.
Either way, it's something to keep an eye on, because without him, they're a different football team, obviously. Chad Henne acquitted himself nicely after throwing that horrendous interception. I get why they threw that play. Just take a shot, and maybe one of our guys will go make a play on it. But when Tyreek Hill, who is 5'11", is amongst the defensive secondary, there's no chance he's going and getting a jump ball like that.
No, maybe a penalty, maybe a hope for that, too.
Especially not when there's two or three guys back there. If there's one guy, maybe he can go make that play. But two, there's no chance. They need Pat Mahomes to advance, obviously, against a Bills team that is playing really good football and shut down the Ravens this past weekend. But I thought it was concussion until I relooked at it. And then it's like his head never hit the ground.
I said that immediately.
But at the same time, I know that concussions can be caused just by the whipping motion.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because it's really, you know, your brain smashing against your skull. Less shifting. Yeah, exactly. Less your head hitting the ground and then that sudden stoppage causing your brain to hit the skull. It's just even whipping can do that. So he'll pass the protocols, I'm sure. And knowing Pat Mahomes, well, let's not forget, missed what, 2 weeks with a dislocated kneecap.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
He's tough.
Dislocated
he's
his
tough.
Kneecap and came back out and played.
Yeah.
If this is a nerve issue, he's absolutely playing. If it's a concussion issue, it's only a matter of time until he clears the protocol.
This is going to sound weird. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm not so sure. Like, I could almost have maybe two different answers. Well,
yeah. Like how soon you announce it? How soon you're saying it?
No. If I'm Mahomes, I'm not so sure if I'm going to subscribe to what I'm about to say. But
go ahead.
If I'm a Chiefs fan, let me put it that way. Take it out of the organization's hand and Patrick's hand for a moment in terms of emotion. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I almost think that I wish it was a concussion.
I hear you.
Because you think now, you get one pick, oftentimes one concussion begets two concussions. If you're prone to three, begets, you never know. You don't want to certainly go down the train of Steve Young, as we saw what derailed his career. But if you personally ask me, if I'm a football player, would I rather deal with, I believe it's the first concussion he's gotten in the pros, at least the reported one, but it's actually not a concussion. But would I rather deal with a concussion, my first one, or nerve issue in my neck as a 20-something-year-old athlete?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather take the ding to the head in a small dose.
No, I think you're right.
I really do.
Because you don't know when nerve issues are going to rear their head.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you get a dead arm, or it's really a stinger. Like, you talk about these stingers that guys get. That's what that is. It's like it's a nerve deadening. And so these guys can't move their arms. And I mean, it didn't feel like that because of how he wobbled when he got up. And it was like he was in La La Land. You just hope for the best, because we want to see this matchup. Like, these great young quarterbacks in the AFC, and then in the NFC, it's these great old quarterbacks. Like, you want to see the matchup. And I think we'll feel shorted if Pat Mahomes doesn't play in this game, even though it is what it is. Injury is a part of football.
Yep.
And you just play the game as it happens to come. But I'll feel shorted if Pat Mahomes isn't playing in this game.
Well, we'll all feel shorted about that. I feel shorted the way you characterized Henne. He did a serviceable job.
He acquitted himself
Chad Henne acquitted himself well.
Yes.
Chad Henne hasn't played all year, all right?
hasn't played 30, like 3 years.
I know. He's 30. Well, no, he played when Mahomes hurt his kneecap. He hurt his...
that's right. I forgot last year.
He played for a couple weeks. He's been around 15 years. He's a competent backup. Michigan man, we know that. Played for the Dolphins, made a few bucks, reliable, good athlete.
Did you know he was his backup still?
Absolutely.
I swear to God, I did.
I'm not saying I know all the back. Like,
I had no idea who his backup was.
That one I absolutely knew. Yes, I did. And we're going to get on the air and say that he acquitted himself well when he dove face first to squeeze out a first down, when he's so surgical. His heart's got to be pounding. Hasn't taken a snap basically all year. And he's looking at the line of scrimmage, and to lull the other 10 guys into pretending that they're not going to take a snap, and then all of a sudden Tyreek Hill takes a sharp dart to his left and then, boom, frees himself up, and it's an easy throw at that point. But you still got to make it all happen in a sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, and he acquitted himself well.
Yes.
He basically won the game for him.
Well, he executed a play that they consistently do in that type of situation.
I don't know if I've ever seen.
He's got a slow heartbeat. You know, they've done that before.
I don't know if I've ever seen them quite try to low, like, even Romo's like, they're not snapping the ball.
Well,
like,
I mean,
not, there's not a person who was watching the game that thought they were going to snap the ball.
Here was Romo's fault. Here was the fault in his call.
Okay.
He wasn't paying attention to
he's CBS's golden child, buddy.
But he wasn't paying attention to what actually happened when they sent the running back out to the left.
Okay, go ahead.
And the linebacker, I forget what linebacker it was, went out with him.
Uh-huh.
As soon as it was man coverage, you knew that they were running the play. Especially because, I mean, you heard this broken down so many times, but I'll recount it, even though we don't have the visual, the benefit of the visual here. With Tyreek Hill sitting at number three, so he's the inside slot receiver. He's got a stupid mismatch because he can do anything, especially because you know it's man coverage now. One running back walks out. You know it's man coverage. There's one guy that's on number three, which is Tyreek Hill. There's another guy on the slot, and there's another guy on the X. It's all the way outside. Mm-hmm. And then there's a safety in the middle of the field. No matter what Tyreek Hill does there, he's winning. You know what I mean? Whether he runs across the field, like just a dart, like a drag across the field, or he runs a quick out, he's going to win that because of who he's matched up against.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as Chad Henne knew that it was man coverage, and he know that because the running back goes out and the linebacker goes out with him, mm-hmm. you know that the play is going to get caught. Chad Henne, the reason I knew it is because when you listen to what he said, right? Because there's no crowd, there's no noise, there's no nothing. Mm-hmm. And so he's standing at the line of scrimmage, and they're on like 23 seconds, right? And he gets up there and he goes, hold on, we got to wait for the clock. Like, those were Chad Henne's words. Hold on, we got to wait for the clock.
Okay.
So he basically was saying, you know, he basically told them audibly, we're not running this play. Wait for the clock, we're not running this play. Who the hell does that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so as soon as...
But that's almost like when you make it too obvious, when you know your line and you give up this ridiculous, this crazy tale to try to convince somebody that you're not.
Yes, you do the opposite.
But you can lay it on too thick. It seems like... I didn't even catch that because the kids were yelling and watching the game. It seemed like that's laying it on a little bit thick there.
Exactly. That's how I knew that they were snapping the football.
But that would make me think that they wouldn't, because what I'm saying is... It's almost too obvious.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
We're not going to snap the ball. We're going to snap the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
but,
you know?
But when you knew when he gets up there and he says, hey, we got to wait for the clock. It's like, what the hell is that? I've never heard that ever. Now, maybe that happens all the time and you just don't hear it because
of the
crowd.
Did you hear it when you were playing?
No, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. You tried as hard as you could just to act like you were actually running the play.
I got you.
He gets up there and he's standing there calmly like, hey, hold on. We got to wait for the clock.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
It caught me off guard. And then the fact that you knew it was man coverage and Tyreek Hill was at number three, a play which they had run, I think, like 4 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they do in this situation. So kudos to Chad Henne for executing that and confusing everybody.
I'm still giving him more props
including
than you.
I'm giving him a ton of props.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, it was terrific.
Acquitting yourself means you do a good job, by the way.
Yeah, but
And so,
I
by
know
the
what
way,
it means,
he,
but
he,
it's,
he
it's
held
not
it.
A very strong endurance. He acquitted himself pretty
okay,
well.
BT, what
hey,
did he do?
Doing, he,
didn't,
you doing
he didn't score.
Today?
He didn't score any points.
They
didn't score any points. They just had to try not to make any mistakes. I'm just telling you.
It is what it is.
It was 3rd and 15, and he scrambled for 14 and a half yards.
That was great.
Which
Come
was
on.
Awesome. But
diving the exact opposite of what Mitchell Trubisky, who's over 10 years younger, didn't do the previous week on the opposite sideline. What he should have. Had a first down.
Just chilled his way. Chilled his way to an out.
Chilled his way downs. To a punt is what
exactly.
he said.
That's what I mean. A turnover on downs. Right?
When Henne went face for out was awesome. I mean, that's a guy who's got he's never going to get hurt. Well, you could get hurt doing that, but he's not going to get hurt because he never plays. Here's a guy who's got millions upon millions in the bank. He's done nothing except, he's smart. Listen, I know he's a good backup. Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
But in terms of Sunday
he
to
just
Sunday.
He hasn't played a dump. Like, it is what it is.
Existence.
Exactly.
This guy is a couple of years away from hanging it up. And to go, I just have so much respect
Agreed.
for a somebody who just scraps to that level when you're not even expected to play. That is preparedness to the highest degree, and I love it. That's the essence of competition. That's if you strip down, instead of playing in front of a I know there's not 70,000 fans there, but instead of playing in front of a 70,000 in a 70,000 seat venue, you're playing in a parking lot. You do the, when you're 10 years old, and you do the same thing. Yeah. I just have so much respect for that.
13 years Chad Henne has played.
13 years.
Made a good amount of money, too.
Yeah, and when you don't play, you can play 13 more.
That's right. I mean,
if you think about it. All right, but real quick on this Higgins play. I mean, you've heard it up the wazoo all day.
Yeah.
The short summation is this. It's moronic. They've got to wipe it out. It's incredibly punitive. It's unfairly punitive. Yep. There's nothing just about it. There's nothing consistent about it with other, you know, losing control of the ball, out of bounds. All right, if you don't want to give him a touchdown, that's fine. Why in the world does the defense get rewarded when they never gained control of the football?
True, because the end zone is sacred, BT. I always tell you this, and I say this every year, because it's a skill I didn't possess. Knowing how to score is a skill, and some people can do it really well. Rashad Higgins does not know how to score because he knows that at that point, at least according to his head coach, Kevin Stefanski, he's coached not to do that. Do not do that. Take first and goal on the 1 yard line or the 2 yard line, or be a Hercules and pound through the safety who you know is coming over. Mm-hmm. Like, go through him. Be a football player. Don't try to reach out and be pretty about it. Mm-hmm. I actually don't mind this rule as much as a lot of people do.
Wow.
Because
this is a different opinion. Well, I haven't heard this once from anybody today.
It causes you to be precise when you make things, when you make decisions like this. Mm-hmm. Right? It's okay. It's like, I'm trying to think of the example, like Pat Mahomes throwing across his body, mm-hmm. you know, jumping in the air, throwing a jump pass 40 yards to the other hash mark, right? You're like, and then he connects on it and you're like, oh, great job. Mm-hmm. Right. And the reason he could do it is because he has precision. He can execute with precision. So it's the type of play that requires expert precision and awareness of the defender, of yourself, where the out of bounds is, and executing it. And he doesn't possess that. It's a skill to score. And so if you're going to try that and you don't do it correctly, you get penalized for it. I don't mind that at all. I really don't mind it at all.
It's the worst rule in football.
It's not the worst rule in football.
To the point where it's got to be eradicated.
The spot pass interference is the worst rule in football, and it has been
second worst
forever. So maybe this is second.
Yours is second.
No, there's no chance.
I don't like the spot pass.
Because we don't see it enough.
That's pretty close. We
don't see it enough.
You know what, though? How about this? Kick it back to midfield, but let me just retain possession. I don't care if you throw me back 50 yards. That's fine. But you can't take the ball away from me.
Possession matters.
I understand that, but the other team didn't regain the possession, so it does matter.
But if I am Lamar Jackson and I'm on the 30 yard line going out, we got 30 yards behind us,
gotcha.
70 in front of us, mm-hmm. and I try to be a hero and scramble around and, you know, make a fool of myself and get back to about the 12 yard line, mm-hmm. and then I get sacked and the ball gets fumbled out of the end zone. Is that not a safety?
That's a safety.
It's the same thing. You get penalized for not being precise. If you're not precise, you get penalized. Period.
Well, that's a loose example, T.
But it is.
I got to come back to this.
To me, it's the same thing.
I got you. I hear you. We disagree, but I think we need to flush through it a bit more. I don't know that we're done, but we do have to get the update here from Ack. We'll come back. We'll hit you with 5-star rewind. Ack's update is right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports, ready. Time for 5-star rewind in a moment. First, though, time to ask the pros right now, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, pretty easy stuff. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on at the end of the show. Tiki and I will sort through them along with Santer and D-Cell. We'll answer the best one, and we'll handle it on air, and we'll give you some props as well. So get them on in and give us something to think about. You think about O'Reilly Auto Parts, and they'll take care of all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So just a heads up again, TV today, done at 4, St. Joe's and LaSalle in the A-10. So you're going to have to catch us just on the radio side if you want to stick with us, which I hope you do. Right now, though, it's time for a little 5-star tee. You ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's hit it.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like
like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
And we begin at the Superdome, a battle of icons. Couple of OGs getting after it, and Drew Brees, he had a rough one.
Brees in the gun, two receivers left and right. Here's the snap. Brees back to pass, has time, steps up in the pocket, drives it deep down the right side, pass is tipped. It's intercepted on the sideline. The pass got tipped up in the air, and it's picked off by Mike Edwards. Third interception thrown by Drew Brees. The Buccaneers take over again with 4:17 to go and a 10-point lead.
Certainly a rough one for the legend. We'll see if this is it, and that'll probably come in the coming days here. But Drew Brees, either way you cut it, amazing Hall of Fame career. Just not finishing up the way he wanted to. That's how it sounded. Ryan Ratke, Westwood One Sports. Final score, the Bucks by 10 spot, Teague, 30-20.
Yeah, no, we know that Drew Brees is compromised in his ability to throw accurately downfield like he used to. In fact, the only downfield throw, which was the longest downfield throw all season long for the New Orleans Saints, was Jameis Winston's one play that he threw a 56-yard trick play touchdown to. Think about that. That's the longest pass play of the year for the New Orleans Saints. And it tells you why this secondary and this the second level led by Devin White, who had an unbelievable game from the interception to the fumble recovery after Antoine Winfield knocked it out of Jared Cook's hands. This defense was able to be as aggressive, and Todd Bowles was able to dial up so many man coverages because they know Drew Brees ain't going to beat you, period. That's why we think that he's headed towards retirement. It's a non-fitting ending for a great career, but he lost to a great team and a great champion on the other side in Tom Brady.
By the way, you think Devin White played a little running back in high school with some of those moves?
Yeah, like
Derrick Henry busting people out of his play.
Oh, definitely. Dude, incredible. He was like stiff-arming and, and trucking. He definitely did. There's no doubt
about it. I got camera time. Get out of my way, boys. I got noise to make here. Post-game Brees on whether or not he regrets coming back this season after contemplating retirement last season.
I would never regret it. Never. No complaints. No regrets. Man, I've always tried to play this game with a great respect and a great reverence for it. And I appreciate all that this game has given to me. And, man, you find out so much about yourself and you have to fight through so much, you know, when you play this game. And I'd say this season probably had to fight through more than I've ever had to in any other season in my career. Man, it was worth every moment of it. Absolutely.
There you go. So now with the Saints into the offseason, Tampa moving on. NFC Championship game, that's at Lambeau. 3.5-point favorites. The Packers are 3:05 Eastern on Sunday. We jump now to Arrowhead. Mahomes out in the ball in the season in the hands of Chad Henne.
They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught Tyreek Hill. Stays in bounds. The same play that they close the game out against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland. And Chad Henne out of the bullpen. Incredible job on a 3rd-and-14 scramble for 15. They called 13.5. Comes back on a roll to the right side, deking Cleveland into thinking they were going to run the clock. And they find Tyreek Hill on the right flat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to advance in the AFC playoffs.
Very descriptive. Good work. Mitch Holt is hitting all the buttons there. You knew exactly what was going down. Doing his thing. Chiefs Radio Network final score, 22-17 Kansas City.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, we talked about this from a Kansas City Chiefs, Chad Henne standpoint, and Tyreek Hill. But really, you gotta put some fault in the Cleveland Browns defense who were caught off guard by this. Yes, they may be trying to run the clock out, but you still got to be ready for a quick snap, and they were not. And kudos to the Chiefs.
Yeah, let's hear from head coach Kevin Stefanski on the losing side. Great season for the Browns. I know that their fans were looking for more, but a nice renaissance, and they'll be good for a while. But how about that brutal fumble at the pylon, coach?
You know, I will never, ever doubt Rashard Higgins' effort or our guys' effort. Our rule there is not to reach the ball out. It's first and goal, and he knows that. So, again, appreciate his effort. He battled like he always does, but we've got to fight that urge because it's such a big loss if it does end up being a touchback.
All right, moving on. Let's flip it back to Saturday. Defense sealing this one. A new hero in Buffalo after this 100-plus-yard gem.
Hill off the right shoulder, the snap. Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted
2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo!
Oh my God, that place must have been shaken. That town, that state, that region of the state must have been just reverberating for hours. John Murphy, Bills Radio Network, Buffalo moving on 17-3. Just 20 points total in this game. Who would have saw that coming,
Teach? Yeah, no, this was ugly, and a lot of it had to do with the weather. We thought about snow as being a narrative. It was really the wind. Justin Tucker missed a couple of field goals early. It made you realize this was going to be a tough one for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, unfortunately, picked the wrong time, absolute wrong time, to throw his first career red zone interception, and it goes 100 yards the other way. But it highlights the biggest issue with the Ravens, which everybody's been talking about and we all have been aware of for the last couple of years. There are not enough targets, big-time targets, for him to throw the ball to. In that situation, Taron Johnson knew exactly where the ball was going. Mark Andrews in the red zone. I'm going to lag in my coverage and step into the lane, and he's not going to see me, and I'm going to go 101 yards for a touchdown. They need to put more around Lamar. Just look at Josh Allen when he got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, period. Big pop. I'm sorry, T. Go ahead, buddy.
That's it.
Okay. Big uptick for Allen, no doubt. We'll investigate that more. We'll get into coming up at 4 Eastern, spend a lot of time on Lamar Jackson. But post-game, let's hear from John Harbaugh. The conditions were windy. Some balls were fluttering. Some kicks were hitting goalposts. Here's the Ravens head coach.
Well, I think it affected both teams to some degree on offense, obviously. You know, when you're throwing the ball, there's a wind and different areas of the game for sure. They didn't do anything really that surprised us. We were prepared for it. I thought they executed well. We executed well at times. We weren't able to finish the drives and get the points that we needed. That's the bottom line.
There you go. Now to wrap it up, how about a 58-yard dagger? Aaron Rodgers to Lazard, all the way to the house, which catapults Green Bay to the conference title game.
Jamal the long setback. Devontae wide to the right side. Soft coverage by Jalen Ramsey on that side. Rodgers takes, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, lofts it down the middle. Lazard's got it, and he's gone! He is gone! Touchdown! The Packers with a 31-18.
All right, that's how it sounded. Packers Radio Network, Wayne Larrabee doing his thing. Green Bay going to host something they've never done. Crazy. Rodgers trying to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, now he is. And Jared Goff on the other side didn't play great. And after the game, his head coach, Sean McVay, said, "We're evaluating everybody, including you."
He didn't
really give a vote of confidence.
No. Matter of fact, he said basically for now he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That is good. Imagine walking to a party. Hey, this is my girlfriend for now. her name is whatever. Jeez. All right. So let's get to Lamar Jackson more extensively coming up here. So he played 2 playoff games this year. He ended the narrative. He had to get a win, which he obviously did. But he also threw an ugly pick in that game, remember? And from that point forward, he came. That kind of propelled him and got him in gear.
Yep.
And he threw this, this pick that was bad and brought back to the house. There are circumstances there, but he needs to get better. And I don't think that that's an easy negotiation for a contract. I really don't.
No.
I've said that many times on the show.
No, I don't think it is either, because he doesn't fit the narrative like you would expect a growing quarterback to fit it. We haven't seen any growth in his ability to read zones or man and make those throws. So a lot of this is on him. Some of it's also on his coaches.
For sure. No, there's no doubt. We're done on the TV for now. Enjoy a little 8:10 hoops. You got St. Joe's and LaSalle coming up. So have fun with that. Teak and I are rolling. We're just getting to the good stuff here. Lamar Jackson, all sorts of NFL stories, radio.com, Apple iTunes, affiliates. We'll see you there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.